Hi guys, welcome to season 2, episode 8 of Coffee is My Boyfriend. I've had a few reflection notes this week, and it's coming down to the fact that yes, I am challenged with this tour. There is a lot going on with this tour, and it is all me, baby, by myself. But I have also been getting amazing questions and feedback from you guys and asking me about certain things in your life and wanting more advice. So this podcast is a complete and utter emotional and thought mindset processing podcast that I think will probably hit some amazing notes that you need to hear about yourself. So please enjoy. This was very unstructured, it was very organic, and I kind of love how it turned out. So please enjoy. Coffee is my boyfriend. My name is Anissa. Bye. Hello, Dream Team, and welcome back to Coffee is My Boyfriend. My name is Anissa, and this is my podcast, my coffee. It's my coffee too, because my coffee is in my hand, and I love it. I love it so much. Welcome back. We are hitting into episode 8 now of this season, and it's starting to develop, and it's starting to change, and I'm kind of loving it, I'm kind of digging it. I'm going to talk a lot today, probably more about the challenges I've personally been facing emotionally when it's coming to organizing this tour and other things that are going on in my life. I don't think... It's funny. From the perception of the outside, people might think I share a lot about my life. I am on the socials, I do the stories, I post the things, but I actually am very, very meticulous and very calculating, not to be calculating as in a positive. Calculating sounds like, you know, I'm trying to plan something that's going down. Well, I am in a way, but I'm just being very aware of what I'm sharing and for what reasons. And I am very focused on checking in with myself and ensuring that it is all driving and delivering towards a higher purpose or a higher goal in what I want to achieve out of life. And to some people, they might not see it yet, and it's a momentum that is starting to build, and it would all reveal itself over time, I am sure. But I wanted to talk a little bit more about how selective I am with people, how selective I am with social media, how selective I am with content and consumption, and how selective I am in emotional presence and emotional space. And I think that is so important to share today, simply because over the last 3 to 4 weeks, I have been getting people message me on my social media, through Instagram, etc., asking for advice because they are feeling a certain way. And everyone has been saying a similar thing. You are so positive all the time. I'm going through this. How can I possibly go through this? So I'm going to give you a few of my little, like, I guess, tips and tricks. And I am not perfect. I stuff up every so often. I'm not going to be like, oh my God, I am so Buddha. I just go through life like yin and yang is all balanced. No, life is not linear. Humanity is not linear. Emotional stability is not linear. Everything has to grow. Everything has to have stretches and boundaries, you know, stretch zone and stress zones. And you can't avoid that. You can't avoid that. So I just wanted to share, I guess, things that I've learned in my own personal development story that have really helped me focus. And also, I guess, the tools that I now use to help me grow into this next version of myself, this next level of what I want to achieve out of life. And that might be different for you. Mine is a very different dream to most. And if you have been following my story for a little while, I don't really like to follow convention. This idea of what has come before, it baffles me that people want to repeat history in that same way. What has come before is not necessarily right. What has come before has already been done. What has come before, you can see the outcome for that person or that particular event, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to reflect on you and your outcome and your event. And I think from my experience, from what I talk to people, is that we get caught up in this idea that if I do this thing that this other person or this other way that has been done for many, many years before me, I will get the same result. I will get the same outcome. I'm bullshit. Bullshit. It doesn't work that way, right? Everyone's like, oh, I'm an individual. I'm an individual. There's no one else like me. I'm so unique. No one else can feel my pain. No one else can feel my experiences. No one else can, you know, do it my way. And yet, you follow everybody else's way of doing it. I find that really fascinating. I find it really fascinating, and sometimes it really challenges me that people don't want to step beyond what is already seen. But I understand that that is also a safety zone. I understand that it is calming in a way to know that someone else has done what you're currently trying to do. So I get it. I get that there is comfort in that, and I am here to tell you that in discomfort, in the unknown is where you change. In discomfort and in the unknown is where you build a better life. In discomfort and in the unknown is where you can completely change your personality and your results and your outcome. If you are trying to mimic results that have come before you and you get so fixated on that, you will be disappointed. You will. I'm just telling you now, you will, because it will never be the same results, and it will never be the same outcome, and it will never be the same people, and it will never be the same success. Just telling you now, if you are trying to repeat what has come before you, stop. Don't. Reset yourself. And I can tell you this because I had that vision. I had that vision for such a long time that if I do A and I do B and I do C, then it will equal D. Because someone else did A and someone else did B and someone else did C, and therefore it got them D. I was naive. I was young. I was naive. It's like the schooling system. Doesn't work anymore. Ah, oh man, that was... Okay, that's a whole nother topic that I want to discuss at another time. But our way of educating ourselves has to come from a self place of desire and a place of wanting to discover and a place of learning and a place of pure enjoyment to be in the unknown. And I find a perfect example of that is children. Children from, like, when they're young, when they're little, right? They are looking, they're watching, they're seeing how everybody else is doing things. But they don't just take in one person. No, no, no. They take in everybody. They see how one person eats, and they see how another person eats, and they see how another person eats. And you know what? They're like, I understand the foundation of this. Now I'm going to try it my way. And food goes everywhere, right? They don't hit their mouth. They miss it. They hold their spoon a particular way or don't. Like, the crazy thing is they actually try. I think that's the greatest thing. They try it their way first. And then as adults, you come in, you're like, no, you have to hold it like this because that's how I've held it. And you have to respond this way because that's how I've done it. And there is this squandering. There is this kind of putting out of a person's or a young mind's ability to express and explore and create within a system. And hey, if they come to their own conclusion that that is the way that they want to do it, fantastic. But this idea of shoving down this preconceived idea of what the notion is of something that is an experience that has been done before in your eyes is right challenges me. And it challenges me because for a long time, people had this idea of what I had to become. And I know no one can make you think or feel any particular way. No one can make you think or feel or express anything other than your own pure, organic, authentic self. However, we do get influenced and we do believe that maybe we should do it this way, or maybe if this person believes that and I respect this person and they've done this thing before me, then I should do it that way too. To a point, yes. To a point, yes. Definitely learn from those who have come before in terms of, if you're looking at a success space, if you're looking at a success space of your creativity, of your business, of where you want to be in life, then get the advice from people who have done it. The amount of you out there that seek advice from friends or family members, or I don't know, the guy you just met at the bus stop, who has not done what you want to do, who has not achieved the outcomes that you want to achieve, who has not even tried to push the boundary to the nth degree of making that thing happen, and you take their advice, and you wonder why it hasn't worked. And don't get me wrong, I'm getting better at it now, but every so often I can feel my mind sort of slipping into that old pattern of like, oh, I'll ask this person their advice. And that person is not doing what I'm doing. That person is not experiencing what I'm experiencing. That person has not achieved what I want to achieve. And yet I'm asking for their advice to influence my decision. It's different now. In the past, it used to be like that. Now it's more so from a place of, I want to see an outsider's perspective, someone who is not experiencing what I'm doing, and I want to know their opinion. But it's usually from a place of asking someone who I really value and respect. For example, guys, I don't ask my parents anymore about what they think about my creativity or my shows or how I create or what I think I should do about this or whatever it might be. Do you think I should get an agent? Like the young stuff when you're just starting out. I don't ask my parents about any of that stuff because they've never done it. They don't experience it. They don't know that world. Why would I ask their advice? When it comes to tax, however, with my businesses, I talk to my mom about it. She's been pretty good and on point with tax, and I asked my accountant about it and everything like that because they have successfully done all that taxing and paperwork and all that kind of stuff for many years before me. So that's what I asked them about. When it comes to dating advice and talking to people, I don't talk to my single friends about it. I don't talk to my parents about it because they're always going to have an opinion of their own experience, right? I talk to the couples that I actually aspire to be like. I talk to them, how do they communicate? What were their challenges when they first, you know, started dating or whatever it might be? And I'm never going to implement or I'm never going to create the same kind of results that they have because I am my own being and my own person and my influences are different to theirs and my experiences are different to theirs. But I am starting to like look for the people that are creating the outcome of life that I want. And I am chasing them down and I'm wanting to know how I can implement elements of what they have done. Elements, not the thing, not recreating, not deciding that was their method and therefore I have to do it that way. No. Taking elements, taking bits and pieces, growing and developing in that space. If someone has achieved the results, that I want out of life, and I have the absolute amazing opportunity to chat with them, and they have achieved the fruit on the tree, they have planted the seed, the tree has grown, and they have the fruit coming off the tree, then of course, whatever they say, I'm going to be like, can I please try that? Can I please take your advice? Can I implement what you are telling me to do?
But you have to be a free thinker in this aspect. You have to decide whose advice you follow. You have to decide what techniques or method in your beautiful little head that you think exists to create whatever success you want out of your life. There is no method. I just want to, like, anyone that thinks they have a way to do something is only the way that they have done it or not done it, so to speak. People talk a big game. They talk such a big game. And it's usually the ones that haven't even achieved it or done it or tried. I find it challenging to have table talk conversation, actually. I find it challenging to have a general chit-chat with someone about, I don't know, the weather or what they've done in their day or anything like that. I always want to go deeper. I always want to discover more, feel more, engage more, connect more. So if this kind of conversation is not floating your boat, then that's fine. That's fine. We can move on from this. You can stop the podcast. You can leave. But this is so important for me to express because it might sound like I'm going in swings and roundabouts. At the end of the day, what I'm trying to say is you have been given the power and the freedom of independent thought. You have been given the power and the freedom of independent thought. So why are you so worried about someone else's opinion, about someone else's advice, about someone else's success, about how someone else is doing it? And I say this because I am so content with just following my path, and I truly believe that there is room for everybody to succeed here. Everybody to succeed. This idea of like trying to pull people down to get yourself up. No. Build your own ladder. Build your own ladder. And hey, if you build your own ladder, then maybe you can bring someone else up with you. That's the way I see it. That's the way it needs to happen. This vindictive nature, this idea of having comparisons with people. I've already just established, you've already told yourself you're unique. You've already told yourself there's no one else like me. You've already told yourself that no one else can possibly think like me or connect with me or, oh, I've got this issue like no one else. You've already established that. So why is there competition? There isn't. There isn't competition. But there is this need of survival. And I think that's where our lizard brain kind of comes in. We have confused in today's age survival with competition. And survival does not mean competition, but perhaps that's where our primal brain has kind of gone. It's like, if I am not winning at this and this other person is, then therefore they will succeed and I will be turfed out of the pack to fend for myself, and I might not survive. And that is how I felt for a very long time when I felt. My feelings have changed. I've developed, I've grown beyond this. But back in the day, I felt if people knew how I thought and how I wanted to conduct myself in this life, and that I didn't want to walk the path that is already been walked and treaded and pushed into the ground 1,000, 1,000, 1,000 times before, because I didn't want to do that, because I wanted to go off by myself and do my thing. I was so petrified that I would get turfed out of the pack and that I wouldn't survive. So I blended in. I blended so well. No one knew any indifference. Occasionally I'd let my freak fly, Oh, damn. That's such a great phrase too. Freak flair. Freak flair. Freak flair. I love that word. I love that word so much. Freak. I love it. I used to hate it. I used to be one of these words that people would bully me with. Oh, Anissa, you're such a freak. And I used to hate it because it was like a negative. They were using it in a negative way. And it got to a point where I was like, actually, the weird things, the freaky things, the things that are different, the people going off and doing their own, you know, journey and challenge and the success stories, they're the ones that broke the mold. They're the freaks. And yet you guys all follow them. You all follow them. You idolize them. Oh, I love this person. They just say what they think. Oh, I love this, you know, this story. They came from nothing and all of a sudden they're here. And you love following that stuff. You know you have the capacity to do that too, you know. The capacity to walk against the flow of traffic, so to speak. I've been noticing it more and more lately, particularly with me challenging myself with this next level of my comedy tour and jumping in the deep end. I'm doing 26 shows on this tour, 26 shows. And the first one actually starts in 3 weeks. In Brisbane, I'm from Brisbane, we have 2 shows there. Then we head to Perth for a week of shows. Then we have a little break, and then there's Adelaide in February for 2 shows. And then there is Newcastle Fringe for 3 days, which would be great. And then we follow that up with 2 weeks in Melbourne for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, which I'm really excited by. And then that all sort of comes to the end with the Sydney Comedy Festival, which is really exciting. But it's a lot. People freak out about one show, like when they organize one show. And I guess I kind of got that experience when I did Sydney Comedy Festival at the beginning of this year, and what that felt like and the intensity of that. And emotionally, you doubt yourself. Emotionally, you have imposter syndrome. You think, oh, someone's going to figure me out. Someone's going to learn that I don't know what I'm doing. And that's natural. It's human to think that way. Human to think that way, that someone's going to figure you out. Whether it's, I don't know, whether it's like that, like being an entertainer, whether it's being a parent, whether it's being a teacher, whether it's being, I don't know, a builder, a painter, whatever your way you identify yourself with. It's like the identity, someone's going to figure out that I don't know what I'm doing and therefore my identity is shattered. No. Here's the thing. No one knows what they're doing. No one knows what they are doing. You just figure it out. Like, I decided I was doing this tour and I just figured it out. I figured out who I was going to book, where I was going to book, the vision of it was very clear to me. And look, it hasn't started yet, and this could be a whole nother thing when it does start. And I just want you to implement, like, I talk about my tour, but maybe you, whenever I say that, you hear your project. You hear what your next level is. You hear where you want to go in your success. When I started organizing things for the tour, I was doing a lot. I'm always... This is where people don't know what's going on with me, and I kind of love it, because you'll never guess where everything is going, which is fantastic. So guys, I've already got 3 shows after this. 3 shows that I've pretty much planned out. There's just elements that need to be sort of written. I have 3 shows already ready. And you have been the first to kind of know that. Three shows. I am set for like the next 2 years when it comes to comedy. I am like 2 years ahead of myself, and I know exactly what each show entails and why it's done this way and why it follows through to the next one and what impact it has and its purpose and what I'm trying to say with every one of them. I'm so detailed in the outcome of what I'm trying to achieve. I can see the vision, I can see the picture, I can see. It's not a dream anymore, it's a reality to me. It's not going, oh, I wish I could make this happen. No, 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 it is happening. I am in it. This is what's going on. And you just come and you deal with everything that comes your way. When it comes to the tour, it's very interesting because I'm organizing this essentially myself. I am my one band show. I do have my incredible friend Sam, who is my opener for my show, but this is not his project. This is not his journey. So he has been amazing and lovely and can support me where he can, but it's not his thing. So I don't expect anything from him in terms of developing it and growing it and making it a success. I don't have expectations on someone to do that when it's my vision, you know? I think that's really important to just reiterate. Some people, and maybe you have in the past or maybe you are currently, are putting pressure on another person and their actions in order for you to achieve something. You are putting pressure on someone else's emotional state, on their actions, on how they condition themselves, and what they do and how they react to you in order for you to achieve something. You are placing your dreams, your goals, your happiness on somebody else in order for you to feel that way. No. Stop. Reassess. Reframe. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. You can't live a life that way. You can't have that expectation on another being, just like you wouldn't expect someone else to have that on you. How would you feel if someone turned around and said, hey, my life happiness revolves around you doing certain things, being a certain way, acting and reacting a certain way, that will make me happy so I can fulfill a living and fruitful and beautiful life? No, 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 no. You can't do that. So the same with like me and the tour, and even though I've got an amazing friend that is coming with me and is experiencing this with me, which I'm just so grateful for, because I am looking forward to being able to share this with not only you guys, but to share this with someone who's living the experience with me. And it's not just me doing it by myself in the physicality of it all. But I can't expect him to put in the effort to make the outcomes that I desire for the vision of what I want to achieve with this particular event and project and life and whatever it might be. Just like you can't expect someone, like your partner, you can't expect your partner to make you happy. You can't expect your work colleagues to make you happy at work. You know, you can't have that expectation. It's all got to be self-generated. It has to be. It has to be self-generated. Because those people will come and go. Just like you will come and go out of other people's lives. There can't be that expectation. If you can regenerate, if you can generate self-love, self-acceptance, if you can generate that from within, then it goes with you wherever you go. And then once you've generated that from within, you can happily and freely give it to anybody else without any expectation of the same amount of energy to be given back to you. Now, how freeing is that? And if you've just completely lost me, to put it in other terms, because again, finances is something that people think a lot about this time of year. Can you imagine that you had the money that you needed all the time for you, and you just have abundance of it now? Of course you would happily give it away to people without expecting them to give it back to you, without going, oh, I gave that person this much, so therefore I'm expecting this much in return. It's the same with gift giving. Oh my goodness, this time of year, gift giving. There's some people who have this, I'm going to spend this much money on someone approach, and I expect them to give me at least that value back. No, that is not a freeing life. That's a life full of expectation on someone else, not on yourself. Reassess it. I guess the reason why I'm talking like this in terms of this podcast today is because I've just had a few of you just reach out, and I mentioned it a bit earlier, but reach out and ask me these questions about kind of life and advice and relationships and things like that, and how I stay positive and how I push through challenges and my mindset behind these things. Oh, trust me, I am challenged at some point every day. And I always try and bring it with excitement. I always try and bring it with that, oh, yeah, bring this on. What am I overcoming today? What am I growing from today? Currently, it's, you know, the pressure of, like, any artist would know when you put on a show or an event. It's the pressure of ticket sales. It's the emotional strain of thinking, oh, is anyone going to show up? Is anyone going to love what I do? Is anyone going to want to experience this with me? Is anyone going to appreciate what I'm trying to create in terms of art? Am I going to be up here by myself? And part of me is like that to a point. I'm really focusing on letting it go, and it's getting a lot better. Like, whenever I feel that thought just slip into my head, I'm like, no thank you. I don't have an expectation on anybody else. I don't have an expectation on people showing up. I have an expectation on myself really wants to ensure that I can express and deliver this to the right people. That's my expectation of myself. And from there, I can generate what I need to do to get it done. But if I'm fixated on money or finances or people's actions, things that are external to me, then they will not come. They will not come. Because it'll be a constant worry and a constant blockage. So I'll never be able to step outside myself. I'll never be able to get away from myself enough to be able to see the bigger picture, to be able to create calculated and strong and just good decisions. So if you are emotionally challenging your decisions right now, if you're emotionally charging them, if you're emotionally making those choices, just give yourself a moment, stop, reframe, step aside. What am I making these decisions for? How am I making these decisions? This kind of all reflects back on, like, this Christmas period, and, you know, everyone's giving each other gifts, and oh my God, Christmas Day has to be amazing, and we have to get this food, and we have to get these things, and we have to get the... It's things and stuff and the expectations of people. Things and stuff and the expectations of people. And this is why it is stressful. Because like I said before, if you are putting expectation of your happiness on something that is external to you, it will not create joy. It will not create joy. It will not happen. You can't have that expectation. As soon as you drop that expectation, as soon as you let that go, as soon as you go, you know what? I self-generate. I self-generate my love. I self-generate my happiness. I self-generate my outcome, my desires, my vision, my happiness. My happiness is a big one. My happiness and my self-love, I self-generate that. As soon as you do that, everything is bloody amazing. Experiences are brilliant, are bright, are just electric in terms of your enjoyment. I spoke about it in my other podcast, how I simply enjoy every day now. Now that I've made that transition, now that I made that space of killing off my old personality and regrowing and rebranding and regenerating and designing this new one moving forward. When I killed that person off and I completely thought in this way of this new person, and I use the word killed off, I use the phrase killed off because I really had to let them go. Like I had to let them, that personality of myself, that old personality of myself, I had to mentally tell myself that it is gone. It is, can't be resurrected. It is done. Because if I gave myself escape, if I gave myself a backdoor, you will use it. If you give yourself a backdoor to anything, I guarantee you will use it. And it might not be in the way that you think you'll use it, but you will. Don't mentally give yourself the back door. Move forward. Don't give yourself the scapegoat. Keep going. When I regenerated myself into this personality, everything became a lot brighter. Everything became easier to conduct. Still learning, still challenging. I had to sort of build a person from day one. Like you do with, you know, when you see kids, you see them and, you know, you hear people say, it's so nice to see their little personality come out, you know, like a little child. Oh, it's so nice to see their personality shining through. It's coming out. Well, I had to do the same thing when I rebuilt myself. I had to figure it out. What is my personality now? I know what I want it to look like, but how does that generate? And I surprise myself. I surprise myself continuously, every day. My self-awareness, my evaluation, how I talk to people, who gets inspired by me, the feedback I get. Like, there are moments where I am just overwhelmed with absolute gratitude for the way that I hear people talk about me, or I get feedback about how I've changed them. Absolute gratitude. But I had to change myself first. I don't go around wanting them to change. I don't have that expectation on them. I don't go around I would love people to be happy, and I want to try and generate that so much, and I want to create happiness in your life, whatever that looks like. But I can't do it for you. I can give you the tools, can totally help you with the skill set. I can give you suggestions. I can give you advice. Thank you so much for everyone that has been messaging me, asking me for advice. I appreciate that you want to reach out and let me influence your life in such a way. So thank you. But you've got to have a self-generating component of this. You've got to have this will to go internal, this will to look deep within yourself and to cut the BS, to cut the BS of life, of things, of being. As soon as you let go of things like ego, and I'm not saying you can fully let them go, they're always going to be around. They have their space and their element and their time to a point. But mainly you've got to let them go. Because they won't serve you in the greater picture of things. They won't let you hear. They won't let you see. If you're constantly putting up these walls, if you're constantly blocking yourself in by putting up this barrier or this expectation of what you think you should be showing the world. I did that for a long time. And it just hurt me. I just felt more isolated. I just felt more lonely. I didn't feel like I was free. I didn't feel like I was expressing. Now, like, honestly, I don't know if anyone can truly say anything about me to me that would hurt me. Because I own, like, every scar on my body. I've owned every insecurity so much so that I've let it go. Like, I completely someone said, oh, you used to be a fatty. I'm like, and? Oh, Anissa, you've got stretch marks over your body. And? Oh, Anissa, you used to have braces. And? Like, oh, Anissa, you're dyslexic. And? Come on. Like, oh, Anissa, like, if you wanted to go down the road, oh, Anissa, you're, like, I love this, like, self, weird tactic of attack that people go into when they are feeling challenged, when they are feeling pushed against a wall, when they're in the corner, they go out and they lash out on people, and they say things that cannot ever possibly in any expectation or circumstances ever reflect on that person, because it is an expression of just being angry. It's like saying, like, oh, you're such a C word, oh, you're such a B word, oh, you're such a S word, you know, like, okay, cool. But that's a reflection of you saying that, you know that, right? Like, that's not a reflection of me. If my actions showed that reflection, that's different. But you know your words only reflect back on you, right? So whenever someone insults you, you know that their words are reflecting back on them. It's them saying it. It's them that has to own what they're saying. I've had moments where I've not been the utmost greatest version of myself, and I have said things and straight away apologize for them, even if it was the person that I did not really desire or like to talk to. I've just been like, I'm sorry, no matter what my emotional state is right now, that was not warranted. And they've kind of looked at me weird, like, wait, what? I'm like, yeah, well, this would not give me peace if I let this go, because it's just not my being. It's not my truest form of self. It's not the greatest personality in which I can create. It's just... And when you're in this space, and I'm noticing it more and more because I'm really trying hard to practice it. I'm really trying so hard. And it's coming easier and easier and easier, which I love. But when you're in that space and you are in this lovely realm of just complete gratitude and complete ownership and complete self-reflection, and you take moments and you will bite your tongue. You'll have moments where you're like, no, I don't want to say that. I could say that to hurt that person, but then I will feel so unbelievably bad later, and then I will have to apologize anyway, or it's going to beat me up and I'm going to be living in the past for the next like 2 weeks. It's like, I love this. And you will be wary of it now that I say it. You know, people hold on to things way too much. One thing happens to you in the morning and you're in one thing happens to you in the morning and you're in a bad mood for the rest of the day, right? Or you have a feeling, I feel bad for the rest of the day, right? 3 days go on and someone says, oh, you're in a mood. And why you're in a mood? And they said, oh, this thing happened to me 3 days ago and I'm still not over it. Oh, what? And then it gets worse, right? Because then someone like actually starts to think about it, like it has to be something that they hold on to, like a grudge. They're like, oh, why are you holding this grudge? Well, this thing happened to me 3 months ago and I'm still not over it. And then the more and the more and the more that you start to convince yourself that you can't get over this thing, that you have to emotionally be present in this thing, you are constantly thinking back. Your brain, your body, your mind, your essence is constantly thinking back to that event that happened now, probably 2 years ago. Your body, your brain, your mind is still reliving that event, and it has been for the last 3 years. And then the more you do that, you know what happens? It becomes part of your personality. That grudge, that thing you couldn't let go, that anger, that disappointment, that anxiety, that depression, that sadness. If you keep reflecting back to that point, well, this happened and therefore I'm like this. This happened to me at this point. This person did this thing to me at this point. And now, 5 years later, 10 years later, 20 years later, you're still living in the past. Your emotional state has not changed to move on from that. So therefore, you are reflecting back. You're constantly living in your body, in your mind, in your essence, back in that 20 years ago thing that happened. Let it go. Self-generate. And it's something that I have been working so unbelievably hard on this last probably 12 months. Every day you get a little better at it, right? And I think it's so important to kind of share this. This podcast is, I guess, not really linear or structured today. It's a verbiage, a vocal purging, so to speak, of experience and thought process. And it's just all been stirred up because of questions that have been asked. How do I get over a relationship that's been currently, you know, I've currently broken up with my partner, or they're going through a split, and how do I get over this? Well, where's your headspace at? That's the first thing you've got to completely work on. And self-generate. Talk to yourself like you would a good friend. Like, what would you say to a good friend? If you're going through an experience where you have to see family members that you don't like, and you know that you're in a fight or whatever it might be, if it's a stressful situation, if you're struggling with finances, which a lot of people do at this time of year, because you've got this idea of expectation, please drop that. Drop that expectation. No one has it. Who cares? In the great scheme of things, who cares? Enjoy yourself. Be present. Self-generate. Love. Love, guys. Love. Even for myself right now, I am in a moment where I am telling myself I'm not stressed. I'm challenged. I'm in my stress zone. I'm being as kind to myself as I possibly can. Things will happen. Things will be amazing. Things will figure themselves out. But you've got to take this expectation off people and this expectation off your outcomes. Such a weird podcast. It was just organic today, and I just went, I'm just going to talk. Usually I have a very specific way in which I want to order things and chat about things, but it's just all this emotional energy, all this impact has been coming to me recently over the last couple of weeks, and just very prominent and very in my face. And I just wanted to be like, blah, blah. This is what's happening. This is what is. And if you take a small one gold little nugget out of this podcast and it works for you, we've nailed it. Here's some tools. One, understand that you don't know anything. You know nothing. As soon as you can accept that you know nothing, then everything becomes a lot easier. Everything is exciting. Everything is present, and you want to learn and you experience it so much deeper, and it just is fulfilling. It's fulfilling. And in saying that, because you know nothing, when you meet someone who has done what you want to achieve and they have done it to the absolute 100% nth degree of what you want to achieve out of your life, then talk to them, get their advice, know what they did. But please stop following the advice and the paths of other people who have not achieved what you want to achieve. I am not going to ask someone who is not a multimillionaire how to be a multimillionaire. Makes sense. So stop that. And when you do find the right people, when you do absolutely inspired and just obsessed with someone who is achieving everything that you want, talk to them, message them, get in their face. 3, talk to yourself like you would a good friend. We don't talk to ourselves kindly enough. Every time you're in your head, it's always negative. Ugh, you're such an idiot. Ugh, you didn't do this. Ugh, blah. And you know what, that is self-generating. All of a sudden, because you're telling yourself you're a bad person or whatever, you lash out. You become negative to everybody else around you. You start like yelling at cars and traffic, and it's ugly is what it is. Let's be realistic. It's ugly. Talk to yourself like you would a good friend. What would you say to a good friend when they're upset? Like a good friend. I'm not talking a friend and you do that whole like, oh, sorry to hear that. No, no, no. What would you say to a good friend? I'm sorry this is happening to you right now, but I want you to get better. And you're a good person and you're going to do this and you're going to feel this way and be kind to yourself. All those kind of things. The things that you would tell a good friend. Talk to yourself like a good friend. Another tip that I really recommend, and it's challenging to find because it does take time and you do have to talk to a lot of people, but when you find someone who is just living to the absolute degree in terms of personality, spirituality, family, health, finances, success, whatever it might be, and you are just in awe of that person, hunt them down and make them your mentors. Because I am fortunate enough that I have amazing mentors. I have a couple amazing mentors that are completely in my corner 100% all the time. And I can reach out to them anytime I want, anytime, any day, any night, anytime I want. And I've built such an amazing relationship with them that they get to hear my crazy. And then they get to step back and be like, okay, here we go. Let's unpack this. Let's push this forward. Let's make this make you a success. They actually genuinely want to see me succeed, because 99.9% of people out this world will not want to see you succeed because you are doing something that they always wanted to do. So if you do have that opportunity, please, please utilize them. We are the sum of our experiences. If your experiences aren't great, change your experiences. And finally, guys, if I haven't said this already, self-generate. Self-generate. Love, love, love. Let anything that is bringing you down emotionally, like it doesn't matter. You holding on to a grudge, like I said, like I've already expressed, for weeks, days, months, years, decades, does nothing for you, and it definitely does nothing for the other person. So why are you doing it? All love. You can just go, okay, that person upset me for this period of time, and all right, it's done. That person said this thing to me, didn't like it, and and I walk away, and I get to be happy in my life. And I get to self-generate, and I have no expectation on any other person or any other being or any other thing, and I get to live happily ever after. What an amazingly crazy and cool, and thank you for letting me chat with you today. Thank you for letting me just purge that a little bit. We're all human, we're just figuring it out. But just remember, you're figuring it out. No one knows what they're doing. You don't know nothing. But you do know how to self-generate love. And it just takes baby steps. Baby steps to make that happen. I don't even know what to call this podcast. I am absolutely actually in awe of how I've just spoken because it doesn't make sense to me. Hopefully this podcast, when listening to it, you're like, oh, made sense to me. Because to me, it feels like this beautiful shambles of string that has just been all knotted up and entangled, but it's still string and it's still going to work and it's still going to do its thing. That was a weird analogy. I don't know. It's like an Andy Warhol painting. It's beautifully weird, but it makes sense. Ah, that's what I'm going to call this podcast. Beautifully weird, but it makes sense. Guys, if you're challenged over this Christmas period, if this holiday season, I get it. I understand. Please understand that you are not alone. Reach out to people that you truly appreciate and value. And don't be scared to not speak up. Sometimes we need to get things out of our heads. We need to get the negativity out of our heads before we can put the positivity in, right? It's full. If it's full of negativity, you have no space for positivity. So please get it out. Talk to someone. Go scream into the void. Sometimes that helps. But get it out and just refuel it. Refuel it. Refill it. Put those two words together. Refuel it and refill it and just give it love. Give it patience. Give it time. And be your own beautiful, amazing, and incredible friend that talks to yourself so positively and so lovingly that you have nothing left to give but absolute abundance of love and gratitude. That's pretty effing cool in my opinion. All right, I'm going to leave that one there. I'm going to enjoy the rest of my coffee. And I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I did. Good times. Safe, happy, and amazing holidays, everyone. I will see you in the next one, and we will be in the zone. Bye.